So the Feast of the Epiphany. The Feast of the Epiphany was being celebrated in heaven with a heavenly liturgy. And it was decided by the powers to be that the three founders of the great religious orders would play the role of the wise men, or as some say, the kings. And so there was the child, and first of all came up St. Francis of Assisi, founder of the Franciscans. And St. Francis laid at the foot of the crib two clay doves. And all of the angels of heaven went, ah. Next came up St. Dominic, founder of the Dominicans. And he laid at the foot of the crib a book called This Is Your Life. And all of the angels of heaven went, ah. And next came up St. Ignatius of Loyola, founder of the Jesuits. St. Ignatius walked straight past the crib, straight past Mary, went over to Joseph and said, what school are you sending him to? Now, that's a bit of a light-hearted segue into understanding the Feast of the Epiphany. It used to be celebrated on the 6th of January, but we also celebrate it on the first Sunday after Christmas, depending what comes first. Now, it's only mentioned, the wise men are only mentioned in Matthew's Gospel. I mean, several things about the birth of Jesus are only mentioned in Matthew's Gospel. And in fact, it's only Matthew and Luke that have any reference to the birth of Jesus in the format that we sort of know. So we have in Matthew's version the wise men turning up even before the shepherds in the field. The shepherds don't get a mention in Matthew's version, but in Luke's version the shepherds turn up and no wise men. So when we look at all of that, you think, well, what's the go here? Well, I have to understand why Matthew would include this particular literary tool. He doesn't mention any kings, none whatsoever. He doesn't even mention three. So how is it that here we sit and most places have a crib scene similar to ours where you've got three kings carrying gifts, yet none of that's mentioned in the scriptures? Well, that's just the power of words and the power of imagery. And it's probably come to land more solidly after some songs were written, like We Three Kings of Orient Are, for example. It reinforces a tradition that grew probably out of a myth at some time. But historically, there is very little to go on to get behind the story or the truth of what this is about. And the truth lies in the way that Matthew uses symbols and images. And some of you may well say, well, that's just a cop-out, really. I mean, why put it there? Much of what is written in Scripture is inspired to inspire us, to take us beyond the moment. And so wise men, well, that doesn't cut it if you're a wise woman, I guess. But kings do cut it for most people. And so Matthew has taken the psalm that you've just read, Psalm 71, and he has used that. And that's where the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh come from, out of that psalm. And the fact that there were three gifts, it was assumed then that there were probably three wise men. And the king, of course, well, that was to balance out Jesus, this Christ child, is king of the universe. And so it was well and truly understood in the ancient world that when a significant astral event occurred, like this star or a comet, for example, it was understood that that was the symbol from heaven that some great leader had been born. That was pretty much accepted. So Matthew's taking the things of the day, mind you, 50 years after Jesus died, he's taking the things of the day, he's reflecting on the events of Jesus' life, and especially his death, and especially, again, his resurrection, and he's trying to get this message fluffed up a little bit, made a little bit more colourful, if you like, to his audience. And the bottom line is that you look at the balances of it. So he introduces Herod. Herod is the symbol of fear. Herod will be balanced off later in the story as the gospel unfolds with Pilate, with Pontius Pilate. Both men represent power and they are fearful of losing their power. The opposite of that, we come back, we have the wise men. We have wisdom coming in. And of course, the Christ child. So the innocence, if you like. I look at it in terms of we operate in our life, it seems to me, as Christians, either from fear or from wonder. This is the stuff of wonder. This is the stuff that gets especially young people quite excited. It allows us to come into the mystery. And that's not a cop-out, because this thing is too big for us to simply understand. And so we use the images of the world that we can understand. And I get royalty. Don't particularly want it, I don't think, but royalty is, in some sense, about power. It's about status. It's about prestige, in some sense. It's all about, it can also be about service, and let's hope that it is. And then at the other end of the scale, you have the representation of the wise men who are not recognised. They're not Jews. All we're told is that they come from the East. And you can go and Wikipedia all about the wise men and you'll find versions of them coming from as far away as China, India and Babylon, traditionally. And that they, when they left by the different route, tradition tells us that they went and had themselves baptised by St. Thomas. It was Thomas in the subcontinent. Thomas was alleged to have gotten as far as India. And so that kind of ties up a few loose ends if that's what you're searching for. But that's a bit of a distraction when we try to understand why do we have a feast like this. I still think it comes back to involving ourselves in the wonder. If we are Christians who live in fear, then when we come to communion, we're probably those ones with the shoulders down and amen. If we are Christians who come to Holy Communion filled with the wonder of the mystery, the joy of this, then we, our amen should be screamed out. We have been given something much greater than gold and frankincense and myrrh, something much more powerful. Something that removes every fear in our life. We have been given Christ himself. Amen, amen. So I guess I would say to myself and to all of us at the beginning of the year, on the journey of our life, which is what the three kings, the three wise men represent, the travel, the journey of our life, do we want to live our life in wonder or do we want to live our life in fear? And the task, therefore, is that we bring to our God what gifts, be they simple or awesome, we bring to our God the gifts that he has given to us. We cannot keep them to ourselves. Being a Christian is the gift that keeps on giving.